Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, my name is Vince. Welcome to week one of our new discipleship series. It's an eight-part series that's going to carry us through for the next several weeks, taught by different folks. It's a fun series to take a look at the heart of discipleship and your journey in spiritual growth. Now, disciple in and of itself, it sounds like a Christian word, you know, the 12 disciples, but there's, in many fields, if you have a teacher and a student, they are in a disciple scenario. The word disciples, Latin origins, disciplus, means a student, a learner, someone who is being educated by someone else. And it has a similar root word as discipline, disciplina. And the common root word, disir, is the root of both. Someone who is a student, a pupil, a learner. And you start to go through, what is some of the stuff that I've learned? And am I a disciple of, you know, whatever particular field might be of interest to you? So, you know, if it's a science or a philosophy, who are you a disciple of? Where are you taking your information from? And what are you learning? Here's just a fun little photo from a couple of Septembers back. My dad and I, we thought it would be fun to learn how to blow glass. And so we went to a hot shop in Vancouver and did this blowing glass thing. It was amazing and hot inside, and our instructor, you know, she was lovely and took us through the steps in order to make sure that we didn't hurt ourselves. In that scenario, I'm her disciple. I'm learning as she's teaching. But then there's other things along the way in life where you're like, where did I learn that? What did I learn? It was an interesting time through the early 2020s when we had extra time on our hands and many people were spending extra time at home. And it was a time where you're like, maybe I'll learn something new. Maybe, you know, and there's people who were like jumping in, I'm going to learn how to make sourdough bread or whatever they were learning. For me, I jumped on Craigslist and someone was getting rid of a smoker. So I went through this process throughout early 2020 about smoking meats. And you wanted to learn how to do things. And as I was learning about cooking and this endless depth of learning about fields of cooking, I'm cooking something. And my friend was like, well, you didn't do that on Teflon, did you? You didn't cook that with Teflon. And I'm like, probably. I don't know. He's like, well, you can't use Teflon for that. And I'm like, well, I can't. I use Teflon for that. He's like, well, Teflon is terrible. It hits this heating point and it starts to emit these vapors and can create this thing called a Teflon flu. It's like an actual thing where you start to get aches and chills. And I'm like, well, I should probably learn more about that because some of my friends are nuts. And so I check it out, and sure enough, there's a thing with Teflon being an endocrine disruptor. And so something that gets in the way of, you know, balancing out your hormones. And you're like, well, that's not good. You're trying to save a couple minutes by having a quick, easy cleanup on a pan, and it turns out that you're messing up your thyroid, or, you know, it's like kidney disease, you know, this type of cancer, or infertility. I'm like, well, I guess I shouldn't use Teflon. So it's not just the what you're learning, but the who you're learning it from. And then as I read on, it was like, well, the specific chemicals that are in Teflon, let me get that right, PFOA, perfluorooctanoic acid or something. They said, well, we discontinued use of that in 2013, so Teflon is safe. And so I was learning about, okay, Teflon is safe. And then I started learning about, well, who put that study out? And you know who put that study out. That study was put out by the non-stick cookware industry. And so you're like, well, can I trust this study? Because they're, and so as I'm reading through, it specifically says in the article, there may be a conflict of interest in this study. which I just found fantastic. So it's not just the what you're learning. It's not just the who is discipling you, but where is that information coming from? What is the end result? Show me what this means of living and thinking goes to. And being a disciple is this ongoing process of I'm choosing to be a learner. Well, then from there, you have to go on to, I got to cook in something. So how do you make stainless steel non-cook? And then you got, you know, you're learning about how to make stainless steel or cast iron non-cook or non-stick so that they cook things. And just the depth of what there was to know about just something simple like cooking, and it's not simple. How to be a disciple in a given area, and in the Christian context of how do I evaluate being a disciple of Jesus? What is being discipled by him where he is the teacher and I am one of his learners? What does that genuinely mean? I am a disciple of Christ. What is the depth of understanding Jesus and his interaction with the world, God's influence via the Holy Spirit through the world, and what am I getting myself into in learning from Jesus? The scripture says some fascinating things. We were being taught last Sunday, Easter Sunday, by Pastor Steve, that it read over top of the cross, Jesus, King of the Jews. And Pastor Steve asked this question, but is he your king? Is he your teacher? Is he the one who influences you where you could say, I'm Jesus's disciple? Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny, that's a rough entry, but here we go. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You see, as a disciple of Jesus, I'm actually just a reflector of Jesus. It's a less of me and a more of him, as he is truly the teacher and I am his pupil. Luke 6:40 says it this way, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. This process of learning more about Jesus and being more Jesus-like is an ongoing quest. And there's times when I feel like I'm hitting the nail on the head, and there's times where it's like, probably should have done that a little different. I don't think Jesus would have quite done things that way. And so it's a journey. It's a spiritual journey that you are on in becoming a disciple of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. I'm being transformed. This process of I was one thing, and now I'm becoming something else because of these teachings. And so regardless of where I'm at in this process, I could be at the very beginning of my journey as a disciple. I could be several years, decades into this journey as a disciple. But I have to come from the position of Jesus, teach me. I want to learn from you. I want to have you, Lord, be my teacher. Help me hone in on that. And as we continue through this idea of this thread of cooking through today's message, I want to propose to you that you are being cooked low and slow as a disciple. So there's different ways of cooking, and I've enjoyed cooking for many decades, but there's particularly throughout the early 2020s, when we had extra time on our hands, you know, more cooking shows and cooking-related things and this time to cook, that being cooked low and slow produces a different quality of something versus cooking something quick, like a microwave. You see, there's sometimes when quick is good, and then there's sometimes when if it's cooked quick, it's terrible. See, like, there's cooking quick, like when maybe I put a sear on something. And that reaction that happens, it's called the Maillard reaction, where you're cooking a nice piece of beef, a great steak, and it's seasoned beautifully, and you sear it on that pan or on some sort of burner, and it makes that nice crust on it. That reaction, it's so flavorful, so delicious that there's words behind it. This Maillard reaction, and then the substance left behind is referred to as a fond. It's just like these intense flavor bits. So there's times when, like, fast cooking is great, but the Christian journey is not fast. And this is one of the challenges of being a disciple. It's not quick. It takes time. It takes time to work through. There's a few things that go into cooking. Time and heat are really big factors on how something is cooked. You have a microwave. And you know you've tasted something when it comes out of the microwave, and sometimes it's a little rubbery, and this part is like ice cold, and then this part is lava hot. And you're like, that wasn't a great experience, but it was fast. And I have to go, do I want that for my spiritual journey? Do I want it fast? It's crazy cold in one spot, lava hot in another, lightly rubbery. And so I want low and slow in my discipleship. And there's different ways of doing that. Of course, there's the long cook on like a barbecue. Sous vide is another excellent way for long periods of time in cooking. It breaks down the meat fibers and the collagen and the other connective tissues in something that create a tender product. It's a long cook time. So there's fast, sometimes flavorful, often terrible and rubbery, and often it's just an ongoing, consistent thing. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through the beginning of 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize and will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I equate the initial impact of Christ versus the long discipleship of Christ like someone who's getting married. There's a wedding. Weddings are so fun. I love weddings. I'm actually performing a wedding this weekend. I love a wedding. Such a fantastic time to celebrate in a couple's life. I genuinely love it. And then there's the ongoing marriage. And they're two different things. Having that one day where it's, we're going to have some fun food. We're going to be with our friends. We're going to dress fancy. And then there's the ongoing married parts. So marriage is, or the wedding day is like, what kind of cake are we going to have? But marriage is more like when you go to the airport and your spouse has forgotten their wallet. That's marriage. You're like, cool. That's so cool. I'm really, what are you going to do? The two of you are one now. You can't quite get too angry about it, but you know, inside you're a little bit angry about it. That's the marriage part. The wedding day is, you know, wasn't this a delicious meal and spending time with our friends? The marriage side of it is longer, the drawn out. Oh, I did you a favor and I washed all your white dress shirts, but I forgot my new red sweater was in the wash and now all of your stuff is pink. That's marriage. And you're like, oh, this is so exciting. I guess I'm wearing pink from now on. I guess my underwear is pink and my socks are pink. So cool. Love it. and that is marriage. And this process of discipleship is more on the ongoing marriage side, the ongoing, continuing, the love, support. I've chosen you. You can't get rid of me. And I think that analogy of the marriage day versus the ongoing marriage, where even though you know she might be just so frustrated and she's like, I am going to send you back because I don't think you got fully baked. And she starts flipping through. She's like seeing if she can get a nice mail order husband on Amazon, but they don't. You're looking through, and of course you want, what does she want there? She wants, what is that? What is that, Caitlin? She wants a 6 foot, 6 pack, 6 figures. Is that what it is? And life doesn't quite work that way. You can't even get a good mail order husband right now. There's 250% tariffs on, and good luck doing that. It's going to cost you a fortune. You better just stick with the one you got. That ongoing nurture, loving, caring, calamity, this is more in the vein of discipleship than just that magical day. I remember the day I came to faith. Magical for me, finding Jesus for the first time is amazing. And you know, just that sense of love and community and purpose, magical, amazing. The ongoing discipleship, you know, I've been at it, whatever it is, 30 some odd years. And it's a process that you keep processing and working through till the day you're done. It's this ongoing thing of discipleship. There are ways to speed it up. And you have to be very careful about what you pray for. You know that you can speed up cook time you can add heat to it. You can increase the temperature. So that one moment when you have that nice Maillard reaction, but then there's that time where it's like, oh, I dried this out or I burnt it. And it's ruined. That's another part about adding too much temperature. The other one is pressure. You can add pressure to a situation to increase the cook time. A few years back, my family and I, we went camping at Yellowstone to go see Old Faithful. Here's a little shot of that. Amazing time. And underneath the surface, as the underground water fills up these cavities, and the pressure and the temperature, and methodically, Old Faithful just blows up. And this can happen when you add pressure and temperature to your journey. Sometimes it just blows up. So you're saying, should I pressurize it? It's interesting when I was camping there, there's a shot of this. I love when I'm camping, I'm baking in the fire or baking with coals. This is just something fun to do. I was baking a pineapple upside down cake with the coals. And this thing would not cake. This thing was like, you know, like had that jello jiggly factor. It's like, this sucker is just not cooking. Turns out that when you cook in a mountain, that you're at a different pressure than when you're at sea level. So your cook times change because there's not enough pressure and it won't cook. So sometimes you need some. And sometimes too much pressure causes things to explode. So you can adjust cook times with temperature, time, pressure. You just have to be very careful what you ask for. Lord, speed up my discipleship. You are an insane person. Of course, we want to draw closer to Jesus, but work on his time. And it's okay, you know, where you're at, just keep moving that discipleship forward. Bit by bit, piece by piece. Many people hear the gospel, but the disciple lives the gospel. Transformation, a little bit at a time, and another little bit at a time, realizing the depths of Christ, the depths, an exploration of a journey with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says it this way. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. There is a depth in Jesus as you explore. So there's that initial, yes, Jesus, I receive you. And this past Easter Sunday, it was 30 some odd people made that first step in their faith journey. The ongoing discipleship part, where I choose to take another step. I choose to take another step. Jesus, teach me. I want to be your disciple. That process is low and slow. And be patient with it. Because of the other things I've mentioned, you don't want to push some things too quick, but it is important to keep things rolling. I conclude with this. This, on Wednesday nights for these past 10 weeks and a few times a year, we run an alpha course. It's for those who are newer to faith. We have another big one coming up in September as you make your plans for the fall. It sounds early, but it'll be here before you know it. My Wednesday group on alpha, there is about 17 of us, and this last Wednesday, God showed up. It was crazy town. It was on the subject of, does God heal today? And people were really reaching out. So some people are brand new to their faith. They're reaching out to Jesus for restoration, wholeness, health. And it wasn't me who was doing the praying. They were praying for each other. And amazing things happening in that tangible presence of God, where you could just reach out and touch him, being discipled by the master himself. You say, Jesus, teach me wholeness. Jesus, help me teach someone else wholeness. Teach me forgiveness. Teach me how to love the unlovable. Jesus, help me reach out. Jesus, help me walk in your ways. I'm talking like God's presence was so thick in this space that some people were, you know, just laughing. Some people were crying. There was like snot, and it was streaming snot, and kids came in and jumped it like it was double Dutch. That last part didn't happen, but I got carried away. The room was so intense with the presence of God, and things were happening. That kind of connectivity with Jesus is possible. And if you're like, I just need to take a next step forward, consider engaging in a small group. It's always comes back to these same ways of, how do I deepen my relationship with Jesus? Reading your Bible, praying, getting in community, serving. These tangible ways create a low and slow environment for you to flourish, so that when you look back, 1 year back, 2 years back, a decade back, you go, I've been transformed. There are some things, boom, immediate, instant, but a great many things take heat, time, and a little pressure. If you're willing to take that next step in your journey and deepen your faith over these next 7 weeks, make sure you tune in every Sunday. If you're like, I want to get baptized, reach out to us. Send us a message, info@calvary.ca. If you're wanting to take that next step in baptism, whatever it is where you're just like, I need to go to that next step deeper in my journey. There's people who want to do it with you. Let me pray for you before we conclude today. Jesus, we are so grateful that you meet us right where we're at, just the way we are. And Father, we just ask for each person who's listening in today, Lord, just that you would meet them right where they're at today, at the end of a computer, at the end of their cell phone, on their tablet today. Lord, reach out in that way where they would sense your presence is just real with them today, that you have a love for them and a love to see them move to that next step. Jesus, be our teacher. Lord, your ways are higher than our ways, and we choose to follow you. Father, we ask that you would transform us just another few percent today, that we would be more and more like you. Lord, we are believing for great things, not because of anything we deserve, but just because you're a good God who gives good gifts to his kids. Lord, move in our midst, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.